My name is Alyssa Magley. I'm from Bible Baptist Church of Rendon. Clayton Suggs is my pastor. I'm in my second year at Trinity Baptist Bible College. I feel like God's called me to be a pastor's wife. And I got saved in the best ministry when I was 10 years old, and I'm just so thankful for all that God's done in my life. Just see his hand working all throughout my life since then, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do with me in the future.
My name is Sims Anderson. I'm from Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point. Pastor Jeremy Ogdy, attend Trinity Baptist Bible College. I'm a sophomore now. I got saved in 2005. Got a wonderful wife. She's the reason I'm saved and the reason I'm where I'm at. And I thank Christ that he gave her to me. And I'm just proud to be here.
Good morning. My name is Christy Kavanis. I am the daughter of Pastor Clint and Karen Kavanis of Victory Baptist Church in Roseburg, Oregon. I am a senior this year attending Trinity Baptist Bible College, and I have to say college is amazing. There are so many things you learn, but in my experience, you learn as much out of the classroom as you do in the classroom. And I've been so amazed at what God has taught me, and so thankful that no matter what the teaching is or what the trial or hardship, God is always there. And if there's anything I've learned in college, it's that my Lord is faithful.
My name is Ben Davis. I'm a senior here at the college. I've grown up here in this church. My dad's the youth pastor. And I was saved at the age of 5. And I just thank God for a Christian home and then a Bible college that he put the dream in our pastor's heart to start. What I love about the college is the emphasis put on the old ways, the soul winning, the King James Bible, the old fashioned music, and the stand against the contemporary movement of today. And I just thank God that he's given me a place that I can go and learn the old ways and go out and start churches around the world so that they can continue on.
Time of God's own choosing, he came. When we the fight were losing, he came. Long before we knew him, when we were lost in sin, at the right time, at the best time, he came. When the night was cold and dreary, he came. To his children worn and weary, out of darkness to make us his again. At the right time, at the best time, he came. To the great and to the lowly, he came. To the wicked, to the holy, he came. That we might know the Father, that heaven we might gain. At the right time, at the best time, he came. At the right time, at the best time, he came.
Amen. Thank you. Haven't you enjoyed Brother Fugit? I love to hear his messages. I love the sincerity of his heart. I thank God that all of the faithful, great preachers, church builders are not old men. That God has raised up young men with a burden, with a vision. Here's a young man that said, I want to make a difference in my state. And my, what a great church God has given him, and God has used him to put together for God's glory a church that's making an impact. What a wonderful vision to start 50 churches in his lifetime in his own state, the state of Kentucky. And he spends the summer months planting churches. And he spends the time before preparing to plant churches. And what a blessing. I would to God that every pastor here would catch a vision to start a church. Start a church. Start a church in the next 12 months. And you'd be surprised what it'll do for you, what it'll do for your people, and what it'll do for our nation. Brother Fugit, thank you. Thank you for standing for the book. And we love you, we appreciate you, and we're glad you're a part of this conference. Come now, sir, and preach.
Thank you, Brother Smith. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate Trinity Baptist Church and all the work that has been done in preparation long before the meeting started. I appreciate the money that was given to make the conference a reality from the local church and from the pastors that have been a part of this. I appreciate the staff. And they've certainly been a blessing to me, as they always are, in caring for every need and everything. And I appreciate your kindness. And I love Brother Smith. My dad would have been 65 years old this year. And I still miss my dad. He'd been in heaven 20-some years. And my dad was my hero. I didn't have pictures of earring-wearing, tattoo-covered, tobacco-chewing ball players in my room. My dad was my hero. I shined his shoes every Saturday night, and I loved my dad. Brother Smith reminds me a lot of what I think my dad would have been like. My dad had a good sense of humor. He enjoyed life. He was serious about the ministry and work. He was a diligent, faithful, hard worker. And I think of my dad often when I'm around Brother Smith, and I think he would have been a lot like him, and so I always enjoy being with Brother Smith. Well, I enjoyed the preaching of Brother Cox this morning. My goodness, I always like just plain, simple, hard preaching. I like that, and I've enjoyed all the preaching. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, and it's a blessing to have young people from school in here. God began to work in my heart as a young boy. I got saved when I was 5, and I grew up in church, and I've never burned out. I love church. I respected preachers and men of God. My dad never took me to a high school, collegiate, or professional ball game of any kind when I was growing up. Now, I'm not against that, but he never did. But he did take me all over the country to hear preachers preach the Word of God. And I learned to love preachers. At the age of 16, God got a hold of my heart in a special way. I mean, a fire began to burn. I mean that, a fire began to burn. And I had an old Scofield Bible that I began to read page by page. And as I would complete reading that page, I would write somewhere in the margin, pray for God's power. And I had a special place in the mountains there that I went to most every evening. And I sat down as a teenage boy, age 16, and I read through the Bible that year and every day as I would write on every page of that, pray for God's power. It bothers me to see young people to have the great honor and privilege that you have to grow up in a Christian home and then have a Christian school and somehow not appreciate that. My goodness, you're blessed way beyond measure. And, there's nothing in the world that brings any lasting joy and happiness at all. And what a joy it is to be in a Christian home and in a Christian school. I want to preach this morning how Christians learn truth. how Christians learn truth. If you'll stand with me, we'll begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, a familiar passage of Scripture, and I'll not read all of those verses, but notice verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then we have the headlines of the newspapers across the country today and yesterday, and the stories change, but the headlines are the same, and these are the headlines of what's going on. I didn't read today's newspaper, but I'll guarantee you that you'll find these subjects in today's newspaper. Then the Bible says, a part of those last days activities, the Bible says in verse number 7, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In a few minutes, we'll read more verses. Right now, let's pray, and I'll begin the message. Heavenly Father, it's a joy to be here and to preach your word this morning. Thank you for this book, and I'm thankful, Lord, for a mom and dad that taught me this book from the days even before I could read, and Lord, read it to me and taught me the scriptures. And Lord, thank you for those devotion times, and thank you for those prayers that Dad prayed and said, "Dear Lord, don't ever let these boys know what it's like to taste a drop of liquor. Don't ever let them know what it's like to be inside a movie house and the places of the world." And oh God, thank you for those prayers night after night. And Lord, thank you for your hand of protection. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless in the preaching of your word today. I pray that you'd bless, Lord. I pray that the youngest child, and I believe the youngest child will be able to understand most of the message today, and especially the truth. I pray that their attention would be given, and something, Lord, supernatural would happen in the heart of a little boy and a little girl this morning and all the way through every person today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. It amazes me today how much emphasis is placed on learning and education. Our world is infatuated with this thing of education. Any bill that Congress or our state representatives or House wants to pass, they can attach it and say, we need to pass a lottery and make it legal so we can help the education of our children. And it seems that because of that, they go ahead and pass it because they'll pass something bad to do something that's supposed to be good. And much emphasis is placed on education, and much emphasis is placed on learning in our world today. There are many institutions of instruction. There are many colleges in our nation and in our nation today. There are talk shows of so many so-called brilliant-minded people and talking and talking and talking. But the Bible says in the last days, they'll be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's where we live today. They learn and 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 they get a diploma in confusion. You ever talk to somebody that's highly educated in the world as far as philosophy, as far as religion, and those kind of things? I had a fella in my office the other day, and I don't know how many years he's been in school, and he is a religion student. And I asked him what he believed in. You know, the truth is, he knew a lot of facts about a lot of religions, but he didn't know anything. I mean, he didn't know anything. I said, "Do you believe that there is a literal heaven?" He said, "Well, you know, I'm not sure." And he went into a big, long discussion and said nothing. I said, "Do you believe that there is a literal hell?" He said, "Well, you know," he said, "there are many theories that says that there in fact could be in the heart of the earth." And he went into a long discussion, but he never could come to the knowledge of the truth if there was a hell. I said, "Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?" He said, "Well, you know, there are many versions, and as you study how we receive the Bible, there some say that a part of the Bible is missing," and on, but he didn't know anything for sure. He had learned and learned and learned. He had received diplomas. He had received degrees, but he never came to the knowledge of any truth. Now, listen to me. I am interested in learning. I'm interested in education. I'm interested in school. I'm interested in high school and college, and I'm interested in training. But it's important that we understand how a Christian is supposed to learn. A Christian does not learn and 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 then finally come to some conclusion about theories, and that's what the world's done with evolution. Evolution is still a theory, and there's still the missing link, and I think I saw it the other day, but I didn't want to tell anybody. The world, they think I'm crazy. You go to the mall and see these guys. I mean, their waist size is 30 and their breeches are 44s and they held up with a set of log chains and they look like they've been in a fight with a BB gun and BBs are stuck in them everywhere and they think I'm crazy. And they learn and they learn and they learn and they learn and they learn, and then they come up with the theory of evolution, and then they come up with chapter 2, the theory of global warming. On and on and on. Notice how a Christian learns. If you'll go to verse number 14, Paul tells Timothy, in the last days, they'll be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But, he said, now Timothy, you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, Timothy, the way we learn is we begin with the truth and then we learn about that truth. We continue to learn in what we know is the knowledge of the truth. Let me give you an example. Everybody take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Let's go right here to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul said, now Timothy, in the last days, they're going to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and get a degree in confusion. That's not how we learn, Timothy. Here's what we do. We take the knowledge of the truth, and that's where we begin. That's our foundation. And the things that we have been assured of, and we continue to learn about those things. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's truth. That's not relative, that's truth. That's not moving, that's fixed. They have classes today in law school called evolutionary law. That's an impossibility. Law means fixed. It can't change. But they're telling them that law is evolutionary. That's why we have judges today who, rather than representing the law, they think they're the law. Do you know in America, when a judge walks in with his black robe, everyone stands? Do you understand why they do that? Everybody tells me we do that in honor of the judge. That's not how it began. It began in the early days in America. The judge came in and he carried a copy of the law. He carried a copy of the truth, the Word of God. You check and see. And folks stood in honor of the law. They stood in honor of the truth, not in honor of the judge. The judge represented truth. But we've come to the place today that the judge thinks he's the law rather than representing the law. Hey, and worse, we have preachers who think they're the book rather than preaching the book that God called them to preach. Now, everybody can understand here that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I don't understand everything about that, but I believe the truth. I believe the truth. God begins with truth, young people. And then he says, I want you to learn about truth. I want you to learn more about Jesus. Would I know more of his grace to others show? I want to learn, but I begin with truth. Can I tell you something? Our forefathers had a lot more sense than what our folks today are giving them credit for. Had a young lady in our church, she is a bus kid and grew up in our church and just graduated from high school last year. And her mother sent her to a secular college. She wanted to attend our school and her mom wouldn't let her. She sent me an email one day and she said, Preacher, she said, I have to write a paper in high school on evolution. She said, and the teacher said, now if you don't want to write about evolution, that's okay. But now, I don't want you to quote the Bible. She said, if you write about creation, you can, but you can't quote the Bible. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, let me help you. Let's start with the Declaration of Independence that says that our rights are given to us by our Creator. And rather than quoting the Bible, let's quote John Adams. And rather than quoting the Bible, let's quote Thomas Jefferson, who quoted the Bible. You see, our forefathers believed Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. But what we have today, folks learn, they say, I think. I'm talking about guys who have learned so long, they haven't had time to go to the barber shop in 10 years or even to comb it in 10 years. And they learn and they learn and they learn and they fill the minds of young people and adults today with theories and with lies. Hey, dear friend, I want to tell you something. God created the heaven and the earth, and if I didn't know anything more, I begin with truth. And that's how a Christian learns. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Psalm 100, verse number 5, His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 119, 142, Thy law is truth. Now, dear friend, what we do in our homes as Christian homes, what we do in our church, what we do in our Christian schools, what we do in our Bible colleges, we begin with truth and we learn about truth. We don't begin with everyone's theory and graduate folks with a degree in confusion. We begin with truth. That's how a Christian is supposed to learn. We're not interested in just learning for learning's sake. We're not interested in learning for discussion's sake. We're interested in learning truth for truth's sake. I'm not impressed with higher learning. I am not impressed, nor am I intimidated by intellectualism. I'm simply interested in truth. We're not impressed today, or we're too impressed today with folks who have degrees. Now, I'm not criticizing education. I'm criticizing those who have so much education that they bring doubt on the truth. We're too impressed with scholarship today. We're too impressed with professors today and not impressed enough with truth. And I'm a little tired of preachers that are making fun of the old-fashioned country preacher who has more truth in his mind and more truth in his heart than they do in their degrees. I'm going to tell you something. My dad didn't know anything about soteriology, but I'll tell you what he did know. He did know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he preached it, and he preached that men ought to be born again. And he got a lot more people born again than these intellects are getting converted today because they don't even believe the gospel of Christ. My dad didn't know anything about pneumatology, but I want to tell you, dear friend, he was filled with the Spirit and the power of God. And I watched him pray until the Spirit of God was so strong in his life, not just in the pulpit. I want to tell you something. When my dad walked in the room, a presence walked in the room. When my dad walked into the school, friend, everybody knew there's a presence here. He walked with God. Now, he didn't know all of the terms and the doctrinal terms, but I'll tell you one thing, dear friend. He knew the truth of this Bible right here. We live in a culture of talk shows and everyone talking about the problems and digging up the problems to discuss and to debate and the vain babbling and even the pulpit in the classroom in our so-called Christian schools are being plagued with doubters. I remember in 1982 in the fall and as a student at Tennessee Temple University and going to class and a Mr. Bradley stood up and he was teaching Isaiah and he said in that first or second class, I want to begin with Isaiah 14 and there's been some discussion as to who is represented here. And he said, here's a version that is a little different. And I remember calling home and saying, Dad, I don't understand what he's saying now. He's got two or three different Bibles here, and the Bible says very plain that that's the devil, Lucifer. But I said, he started talking about the morning star. He said, you can drop that class. You can drop that class. Eventually, he said, you can drop the whole school. Thank God for that. Of course, Dr. Robertson was still there, but things were changing. even in the pulpit and classroom, we're plagued with doubters, those who are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We have scholars of confusion, intellects of ignorance, students of stupidity. God, help us today to get past this idea of intellectualism and just get back to the truth of the Word of God. Begin with the foundation of truth and then learn everything we can learn about that truth. It's amazing to me, Webster defined words using the Bible. We have preachers today who define the Bible with Cambridge and Oxford dictionaries. No wonder we're messed up. Preacher said to me, he said, how do you define inspiration? I said, well, John 6:63 is a good definition for me. Thy words are spirit and they are life. He said, the Oxford Dictionary. I said, I don't care what the Oxford Dictionary said. He said, the unabridged volume. I said, the unabridged Bible said, and I believe that this book is an every word Bible, and it said my words are spirit and they're life, and that's good enough for me. He said, you're ignorant, sir. You're ignorant, he said. He said, I'd be ashamed to be a president of a Bible college with that kind of ignorance, he said. God help us today that we take the Bible and go ask men of secular writing dictionaries and say, what does our Bible mean? Can you help us? God said what He meant, and God meant what He said. You listen to me. When you come to the Bible states the truth plain and black and white and emphatically. And when you come to a book that says, that brings doubt on the Bible, hey, you throw away the book and keep the Bible. When you come to a scholar or a professor that brings doubt on the book, you throw away the professor and you keep the Bible. I don't judge my Bible by a scientist. I judge a scientist by the Word of God. We begin in truth. A few years ago, I was invited to come to Transylvania University in our city, and I had held a public rally and several meetings where I'd been on radio and so forth, and a group of students asked me if I would come and speak on the subject of proving truth in the day of relativity. And I said, just as soon as I find out what that is, I'll be glad to come and speak on that. Well, that school, they found out that this group of students had invited me to come, and they had passed out flyers and so forth. No, they expected 20, 25 people to come and to hear me speak. But this school of diversity that said we need to hear all sides, they began to protest my coming. Isn't it something how they want to be diverse in everything but the truth? And so thanks to the protesters, the building was packed. I mean, it was packed. Big auditorium. There were professors there. I remember one guy. Isn't it something? You can always pick out the professor. You can always pick him out. I mean, his head looked like a condominium for fleas. I mean, buddy, he was a mess. And I remember going into Transylvania University. Now, Transylvania, it is a school of higher learning, supposedly, and what that means is tuition is three times higher than what it is in other places. And I went in and I said, thank you for the invitation to attend or to speak tonight. And before I speak, let me rehearse for just a moment the history of your school. Now, I understand you being a student here and the tuition you pay, you already know what I'm going to tell you, but Transylvania began in 1780, 12 years before Kentucky became a state, and land was given in Boyle County from Virginia for this school to begin. And the first professor that Transylvania had was David Rice. And I have a copy of the textbook that he used in his first class. Now, I know you already know this. You know your history already. And they looked at me like, yeah, right. I mean, they had placards and they had words written on them. I had asked the deacons what they meant. I mean, they just said they were mean. And I said, I have a copy, and it's about 400 years old. And by the name, he was the Reverend David Rice. And the name of the school was not Transylvania University, it was Transylvania Seminary. 1792, Kentucky became a state. Just after that, Transylvania Seminary moved from where it was to where it is right now. And one of the first lectures that the Reverend David Rice gave was about the fall of man and the curse of sin on man and the penalty and price of sin that had been placed on all of mankind. That was one of his first lectures. And in his first lectures, as he taught about the fall of man and the necessity of that penalty being paid for, he told his students about how to teach from this textbook that Jesus came to pay that penalty for them, and by faith you can have eternal life. And what they did, they trained preachers to do what I do right now. Now you know all that already, you being a student here. Friend, I want to tell you something. They had degrees in learning, but none of them had come to the knowledge of any truth. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't look down on a Christian school and think that you're getting an inferior education. You're getting a superior education because they learn and learn and learn and learn and know nothing of absolutes. You begin with the absolutes and you learn about them. I like what Vance Havner said. He said, I don't understand everything about salvation. He said, I don't understand everything about electricity, but I'm not going to stand around in the dark until I do. Now, we begin with truth, and then we learn about that truth. Let me just give you some plain statements here, and I'll not be long. First of all, I open this book of truth right here, not a book of relativism, but a book of absolutes, a book of certainties, a book of black and white plain truth. I find in this book right here, the Bible is the Word of God. Every child can understand that. Look, this book is not man's book, this is God's book. No man authored this book. God is the author of this book. Everybody can understand that. We begin with that truth. The Bible is the Word of God. Every father and mother that has any desire to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, even when that child is a baby, I tell our folks, when your wife is expecting, start reading the Bible to the baby in the womb. I don't know if the child can hear it, but it'll help its mama. And anybody who has a desire to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they begin to say, this is the Bible. All of my children, every book they saw, Bible, 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 Daddy. No, that's a song book. Bible. Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. Bible, Word of God. Bible, Word of God. Hey, I have a 2-year-old, my children. I have 5 children. One's 21, one's 17, one is 12, one is 8, and one is 2. I have a 2-year-old that has more knowledge of truth than some preachers I know, because she says, Bible, Word of God, Daddy. Bible, Word of God. You see, she hasn't learned and 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 says, Daddy, now, in 1901, there was a version that came out, and then, Daddy, and it came mostly from the Textus Receptus, and of course, there was some confusion about exactly what that was. No, she just said, Bible, Word of God. Every book to her is a Bible. Hey, listen to me. That's how a Christian learns. We begin with the truth. And if all you ever know is the simple truth of the Word of God, you're far more educated than all the intellects in the world, than all the professors in the world that doubt the truth of the Word of God. We begin with truth. and then we learn about the truth. You see, buildings begin with foundations. They don't begin with the paint. They don't begin with the air conditioning. They begin with the foundation. I'm amazed at the number of sermons today that begin with paint. And they begin with heat, hot air. There's no foundational truth. Paul said, Timothy, preach the word. Not fables, not philosophies, not chicken soup for the soul. The word. Start with the truth. Take the foundation of truth. And if all they ever get is a title of truth, that's better than the philosophies of hot air that's being given today. Just preach the truth of the Word of God. We begin with truth. Then, second of all, salvation is plain. It's simple. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't understand everything about all of salvation. It's amazing to me. I study the law, and oh, how I realize I need a Savior. I study the law, and I wonder if anybody's saved. Then I go over here and study grace for a while and think everybody's saved, and back and forth. And now, I know what I believe about salvation, and I know that by grace through faith that a person is born again. But can I tell you, I'm still studying the riches and the depths of truth. I'm not doubting the truth. I start with the truth, and I learn about it. A fellow called me the other day and said, I'm interested in your Bible college. I'd like to know if you preach the full gospel. I said, yes, sir, we do. Really? I said, yes, sir, we do. He said, I'm surprised because most of the independent fundamental Baptists I know don't preach the full gospel. I said, as far as I know, I said, we preach the full gospel. He said, can you explain it to me? I said, yes, sir, I believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, what else? I said, what else is there? Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But he said, what do you think about so-and-so's book? I said, never read it. And he said, he talked about, I believe Larkin was one, he asked me about a book of Calvin and Calvinism. He said, I thought you were a Bible college. I said, we are. We're not a Calvin college. We're a Bible college. We're not a Larkin college. We're a Bible college. I'm amazed at the number of places of Bible college. They teach everything but the book. And when they teach on the book, they say, now, you understand that we lost 3-5% in translation. Isn't it amazing how they're smart enough to say that, but they're not smart enough to tell you what it is? We begin with truth. We begin the truth of salvation. We begin with what Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I love the story Dr. Howells told. He said, a woman said to him, there are many ways to heaven. She said, you see, Mr. Howells, if you wanted to go to Chicago, there are many different highways. There are big roads and small roads and all different kind of ways that you can get to Chicago. He said, ma'am, you're exactly right. But when I die, I'm not going to Chicago. When I die, I'm going to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the truth. Every child here can understand that. As a 5-year-old boy, I realized that I was lost and undone. I was a sinner. I didn't want to go to hell. And Jesus had died on the cross to pay for my sin. And if by faith I would trust Him, He would save me. So down the aisle I went. Brother Clyde Jones, our pastor, he met me in the front. Why do you come? I want to trust Christ as my Savior. My aunt was a nursery worker. The nursery worker. She was an altar worker. And we knelt and she went through the plan of salvation again. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And friend, I am born again. I've been saved since I was 5 years old. I haven't lost my salvation. I'm born again by the grace of God. Hey, a child can understand that. You see, in the last days they'll be ever learning. Never come to truth. Paul said, Timothy, that's not the way we learn. We start with truth. And then we learn about the truth. Truth is, God's a creator and God is a sustainer. We have folks today. And global warming's chapter 2 after evolution. And there are many chapters, and humanism is nothing but a religion that denies God and makes man God. And you say, preacher, do you believe in global warming? Yes, and I got Bible for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's the only thing I believe about global warming right there. I believe in being a proper steward. The Bible teaches that. I believe when you catch a fish, you ought to fillet it, you ought to dip it in buttermilk, and you ought to roll it in meal, and you ought to deep fry it and eat it for the glory of God. I believe you ought to be a proper steward. Believe that. I don't believe you ought to waste and destroy. I remember one day I had a Tonka truck. I had moved mountains with that Tonka truck, but the engine was out and the transmission was slipping, and I decided that I was going to destroy that Tonka truck. I just, you know, boys want to break things, and I took a big sledgehammer and I hit that Tonka truck. I didn't know Dad was looking out of his office window. I got to whip him because you're not supposed to destroy things. You're not just supposed to break things for the... Hey, have you noticed that children have that foolishness in them? They just want to break something. Now, the rod of correction will drive that foolishness out of them. You don't need a super nanny, you need a super Bible. Children are like canoes. They go better when they're paddled from the rear. When I was growing up, I didn't get spankings, I got whoopings. There's a difference. A spanking's three or four licks. A whooping is one lick shy of death. That's what a whooping is. I think that's what I thought of when I read that last night. Paul received 40 stripes, saved one. A whooping, one lick shy of death. Now here's how we begin. We believe God is the Creator, and according to Colossians chapter 1, everything was made for Him. Everything was made to bring honor and glory to Him. And He is the sustainer of all things. I hear this thing of separation of church and state all the time. I believe that. I believe one day God's going to step out and separate the church from the state. He's going to say to the church, come on home. Hey, all of this foolishness that's being taught, ever learning. Oh, did you hear him preach? I heard him. Why, when he got up, he started reading out of the Greek New Testament. Wow. What did he say? I don't know, but my goodness, that guy must be brilliant. Let me show you one thing and I'll quit here. Go to James chapter 3. Let me show you something about the kind of wisdom that we need to seek and desire today. Go to James chapter 3, verse number 13. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Notice this, easy to be entreated. You know, God says, put the Holy Spirit to the test. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. God doesn't mind you putting him to the test. I don't want my folks to believe me because I said. I want them to believe because the book says it. If somebody comes to me and says, preacher, I don't understand that. Can you show that to me in the Bible? I'm not going to say, hey, who do you think you are? Look, I'm the preacher. You just believe it because I say it. Don't you be questioning my authority. With the wisdom that's from above, it's easy to be entreated. You see, God's learning, God's wisdom desires to take a young man and teach him and train him and bring him along. The worldly wisdom says, did you see the degree beside my name on the door? Wisdom's not about me. Wisdom's about him. Learning's about him, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Here's how a Christian learns. We don't learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and sit down in a big class and try to determine what the closest thing to the truth is we can find. No, we just begin with truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I don't understand everything about it, but I'll start with the truth. I'll just believe God's a creator. I start with truth. Then I learn about it. And if I learn something that crosses the truth, I throw that away and stay with the truth of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn as Christians ought to learn. There's no need for fears, doubts, and confusions. Lord, you're not the author of that. You gave us a book plain and simple, black and white, to read to begin with truth. Lord, the men who shaped our nation were men who just believed the truth, the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help us. Every young person today, help them to rejoice that they don't have to go to a place of inferior learning, but they get a superior place of instruction and learning because they have a school and a church that begins with truth. Help us now in the rest of this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.